Glory to Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says to this person crying out, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man says, "Lord, let me receive my sight." I think that there are no more accurate words that can be spoken by any of us on the planet at any time, especially when we look into the whole area of our knowledge and understanding and our vision and our ability to understand and to know what's really so about everything. I don't know that there's more profound words that can be uttered, but Lord, let me receive my sight. And that flowing out of a prayer for God's mercy. Now, it's not always easy for us to acknowledge when we are rather whole in body, and even somewhat together in spirit, perhaps, that we are blind. But I don't think it's too difficult a task for us to consider that possibility. You know, what's one of the common things that we say about each other when we're trying to not see certain things about either ourselves or about other people? We say that we have blinders on. And what do we say about people who can only see things in one fashion? We say that they have tunnel vision. Now, we know that it's a good thing when we need to be focusing very concentratedly on something to have that kind of focus. But when we look at the task laid before us to know the God who made us, then tunnel vision and putting on the blinders is not very good for us. It makes us blind. We know what it's like as our eyesight starts to be a little bit fuzzy. And this can start right from the very beginning. How many of us can remember back to times when there were children in our classes who were thought to be kind of dumb? And it was later discovered that they simply could not see the chalkboard. It was a little bit too far away. But nobody was checking that very regularly back then. So children with glasses, who are so common today, were called four eyes and other kinds of names that would have made fun of them because they were the rare ones who needed glasses. And back then, it was even a kind of shameful thing to need to wear glasses, whereas now, you know, they make glasses with no lenses in them. You know, no magnification there, because now it's kind of cool to wear glasses. I have glasses down here somewhere that when I want to feel smarter, I put them on. And they make me smarter. But when I look at my blindness, there are at least three places that I can consider whether or not my vision is maybe even improving if I'm doing some work with it. Because we know that when we go to the ophthalmologist, sometimes they'll give us kinds of exercises to do with our eyes, you know, in terms of focusing on things. Crossing our eyes, looking both ways, working those muscles so that they can get stronger. And one of those places is simply, am I giving glory to God? Am I worshiping God? Am I thinking about God? Am I wondering about God? Am I pondering the mystery of God? And I know that for myself, again, given, let's say, 16 or so waking hours, I don't spend much time doing that. I'll read some books, I'll do things to entertain me, but I don't work at it. And then another place that I find myself perhaps a little bit blind has to do with you. And it has to do with you because I don't really care all that much. Oh, I'm your priest, and I'll go visit you in the hospital, you know, and I have you on a prayer list that I will pray regularly. And I'll try, but in another sort of way, I'm blind to a kind of not caring about you all that much. And when I extend it past you to my neighbor, who I might not know too well, And when I stretch that out to a nation that I can look around and see all the kinds of people who are doing things wrong, you know, my blindness to their suffering and to their struggle is even worse. And then when I extend that to the other, not only the other who is intimate to me, but the other who I hardly know at all, I really would rather not have to think about them at all. And then the third place that I might consider how blind I am is when I look at myself. And that might be the most dangerous place of blindness, because it's the one that's going to source the other two. The blindness that I suffer is going to tell me that, oh no, I really am a kind, compassionate person toward my fellow man. I really do care about him. And my blindness towards God will tell me that, oh no, you love God. You're a Christian. You're even a priest in the church, or a choir member, or an usher, or somebody who does this work. And so my own blindness, my own personal blindness, is going to be the source of all of my error and sin. Yet it's the place that I am probably the least aware of a need to ask God to give me my sight. Because with other people, you'll tell me some things about what I'm doing, what I'm up to, that maybe I'll actually say, yeah, I'm going to work on that. And when it comes to God, maybe even there, you know, I might know because there are prayer books set out and there are services done that I'll have my moments. But when it comes to really looking at me, it's awfully hard for me to see me. Because where am I?
Yes.
I'm kind of hidden. I'm kind of in the dark about those things. Who am I? I don't really have a very good answer for these kinds of things. Now, as I start to recognize that, I might have a chance even there to ask God to give me my sight. Let me receive my sight. Now, the dangerous thing there for me is that I kind of know that I might not really want that too much. Because if I look there, I'm going to find, in the broader philosophical sense and in the way that many of you think that I say it more than enough, I'm going to find out that I am mortal and that I am unable to do too much about that at all. And on the other hand, I'll find out also very simply that a lot of time, you know what, I just don't care. Now, if I can come to that place, then just maybe a little bit of repentance, which is going to be the key to my recovering my sight, just a little bit of repentance, just a little bit of sorrow, just a little bit of sadness about what I might begin to discover as the light is shined. And maybe that's why most of us don't have a bright light shined on us immediately, because it would be too much for us to bear. But when I see those little things, when it makes me sad, when it makes me see a need for me to do some work and to change, just then, maybe I can begin to repent. And if I can begin to repent, then God can restore my sight to me. It's all in there. And as I use that word in there, that's probably the hardest part of all this for us. Because we don't like to look in there, or we don't know how to look in there, or we don't have the courage to look in there because we're very fearful of what we may find. And so we continue to look, gaze perhaps a little bit up there, out there. But oh, how much we will go out of our way to not have to look in here. And the world will support us absolutely and perfectly and tell us why we don't need to look in there. And how we can do stuff out here that makes it all okay. But when we look at what we find, again, as we gaze upon the images in the icons of the saints who are present with us in this church, we find that that's a very new kind of thought. It's a very modern way of thinking, that somehow I, on my own, can work these things out. You know, we heard in this morning's epistle, some famous lines that we will argue with all the time, people will bring this up, where it says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." That "lest anyone should boast" is very important, because Christ is not saying here that working is not important and that it doesn't make a difference. He's saying that when we get too caught up in our works, we can start to believe that we can save ourselves. And isn't that kind of a description? Either I don't want to look, or I want to think that I can fix myself. And when I find out I can't, it's very disappointing to me, because it shows out, it points out, it makes it very clear to me that I am in a very difficult spot. I would like to be healthy, but I can't heal myself. I would like to be wise, but I can't teach myself. I would like to see, but I can't give myself sight. And so at that place, if I can look in there and say, "Well, what then shall I do? What can I do?" And that's where of the church comes in. We're blessed with ways that we can find out stuff even with just a few keystrokes. We don't even have to talk to people. But we can. There are books where the saints talk to us. There are our priests and our clergy who can talk to us. There's even simply the other person that we can call on the phone and say, "Well, what do you think about the sermon today?" But we tend not to do that. You know, we see that 20 minutes that might be spent where we might think about it a little, and that's it. The blinders come back on, the tunnel vision kicks back in, and we go through our lives as though we have forever. So let us pray in this most important time of year, when we anticipate the coming in the flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we gather on Saturday mornings and hear beautiful words spoken that remind us of the glory of what God has done for us, of the depth of His love for us, but also of the danger that we find ourselves in, that we hear about every Sunday morning when we come to Matins and hear the prayers there, of Adam's sin and what happened there, that requires a God who can step in for us where we cannot act for ourselves. Let us pray that somewhere in our hearts we will too glance just a little bit, being not fearful, because God does cast out all fear, and that when we begin to look, we can begin to do the kind of work that will allow the God who saves us to do just that. Amen.
Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O God, by thy grace.